Thanks for having us, Glenn. Wolfcast, best cast. We got Nadia.
We do have Nadia.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing
Take that, sense. Dragon cast. We got Nadia.
Welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave, Wolfcat Edition, returning for a Season 8, Episode 1 update on the latest Game of Thrones episode. My name is Glenn Daggles-Rivers from the forums, and I'm very delighted to be joined by...
Hi everyone, this is Nadia.
Hi, this is Jock, my little Jock here on the forums.
And we may have some other people pop in later, but just as free for now. So, of course, we've got the latest episode and just an update like we do on Wolfcast. So just an update on, I guess, viewing figures, because I always like to talk about that. So yet again, Game of Thrones has, of course, broken records in terms of how many people are watching. So looks like the figures we've got are for HBO, 17.4 million. So beating the 16.5 million that watched the season 7 finale. Likewise on Sky in the UK, we've got a viewing figures of 3.39 million for the first episode. So that's just during the entire 24 days of that day. So beating the 2.83 million that watched the season 7 finale episode. So on an upward trend, what are your thoughts about the final episode? I guess what are your thoughts on the final episode? Do you think the first episode will do better, or will the final episode do better?
Oh, the final one, definitely.
Yeah, I agree, because that tends to be like a pattern with all previous seasons, especially the later ones, is, you know, it starts off with very high numbers and then it sort of tails off for the next few episodes, and then the season... Well, the finale of the season always does better than the opening episode, so I think we could be looking at massive numbers, maybe even 20 million viewers watching in America in just 5 weeks' time for the finale. So exciting times with the episodes, and you know, we've only got 5 episodes left, sadly, with the show, and I guess because we're both, well, in fact, all 3 of us are, you know, not in America, not based in America. We sadly couldn't watch at 9 p.m. on, of course, on the Sunday night. We had to wait a bit longer. Did we stay up to watch it?
I didn't.
You know, I didn't either, because and I haven't for the past few years, ever since season 6. I think season 6 is the last time that I did it. So with season 7 and this season, I think I've just taken the mature approach of, you know, waiting until the next day to watch it. Although, interestingly, they did have Domino's Pizza open up until 3 a.m. because they knew that people either intentionally took holidays from work on that day, or people would just be staying up anyway to watch it. You know, just not caring, just watching, and only having a few hours sleep. So Domino's opened expecting a large number of orders to come in. What about yourself, Nadia? Did you, I guess, wait until the next day?
Oh, yeah. It's like the morning for me anyway.
Yes. So.
They don't really have to wait that long.
Oh, yeah, true. Absolutely. So, yep, with the Game of Thrones episode, so quite a number of reunions happened. So things that we're waiting for to happen in the book. So a big Stark reunion within the show. Things that, you know, quite a lot of things happened that I forgot about. Like, of course, at the end when Jamie looks at Bran, and I completely forgot about that because it's been so long since the show talked about it.
Oh, actually, I've been waiting for that for a long time. Like, I want to see that what that conversation would be like.
I know.
As a fan on the show right now, he's pretty emotionless about everything, so I don't doubt that that's what's going to happen here too. I really don't want to.
I know it was a good moment, a good way to end the episode.
Do we still do ratings for the episode?
Oh yeah, we can still do that. Yeah, you can start then, Nadia.
Okay, I guess I'd give this like a 3.5. I was a little underwhelmed by the episode. I guess it's more of like it's setting up stuff that's gonna happen in the next episode, but then we did have a lot of reunions that I've been waiting for a long time. So I just think it wasn't as good as I wanted.
I would rate it as maybe 3.25, just a bit less. I agree with what you're saying with I did feel like because the show's been off air for the past 2 years, so there was a lot of re-establishing characters. So a lot of time was spent doing that, catching up on loose storylines from the last season. So that's so I can understand why they did that. But then because we have less episodes this season, I guess a lot of people were looking for more action to happen and for the plot to develop quicker because of that. But still an enjoyable episode. Maybe sort of like middle of the road in terms of opening episodes. So no big explosive moments to take you on to the next episode like prior seasons. So yeah, but I would probably rate it as 3.25. What about yourself, Jock?
I'll give it a 3 out of 5. The Hound sort of reunion seemed a tad psychotic, then followed by Alia being human seemed a bit off place. And there were a few scenes which I didn't really like, such as the Qyburn one or the Euron Cersei ones. I didn't really like King's Landing segment. And finally, I'm giving it a 3 out of 5 instead of similar to YouTube, because there were 2 dragons and absolutely no wolves, and this is Wolfcast. So.
There was a few things that I never picked up on. So like the, no wolves. I know someone in work said to me the other day, well, in fact, it was today, not the other day, but today. They were saying that the opening moment where we're waiting for Daenerys' army to walk to come in, and then you've got all the North on. And then the boy climbs the tree. See, I forgot that was like a nod to when Arya did it in the first season.
Oh, actually, that scene took me like straight back to the first episode when she's running through the crowd. So I really, that's like, really enjoyed. Even though it's just a boy, you don't really even know. But it's nice to see. And when you do see Arya, you see, how much she's grown and how she hasn't been doing that. It was actually pretty nice.
Were there any highlights of the episode for you?
Oh, I did enjoy the Sansa Tyrion reunion. I think the scene at Last Heart was probably the highest point. It was really well done. It was unexpected.
What did you all think of the dragon race?
Oh, I think it was beautiful. I have heard it pointed out that that was also a callback. The end of that scene to when Jon and Ygritte are in the cave. And Ygritte kind of says something like, we don't really have to ever leave here. We can just stay here forever. And Dany says kind of the same thing.
Oh, yeah. No, I can see your point.
Yeah, so that was... And it was just, just see those dragons really flying. That was pretty amazing.
I know, we don't get to see the dragons a lot, so it was good to to see that.
Yeah. What did you think of of Sansa's reaction to Dany's arrival?
Yeah, I did think there was a lot of tension there. It was they built up a lot of that with the North scenes, and they made it clear that the people of the North do not like Daenerys. But I felt like they maybe focused on that a bit too much. So it's like five different times that they mentioned it in the episode. But yeah, the reactions, I guess the facial expressions from Sansa, just it told the story that, you know, it's. But what do you think? Was it more about power, or was she really concerned about Jon?
I think it's probably both. Like Sansa helped make Jon king, right? And then Jon didn't just go and bend the knee and give up his crown. He's also sleeping with this woman that he's only very recently met. And so I think she is right to question Jon's judgment. The Starks have fought hard to go back to Winterfell and to just give it all up. And yes, Jon had his reasons. It, but then Sansa is also right to question his judgment. And, you know, Dany is a Targaryen, so it hasn't been that long since Robert's Rebellion. So I'm sure most of the people there still remember what happened, what Aerys Targaryen did. And this is his daughter. So it's perfectly understandable why they're not happy with Jon bending the knee to a Targaryen. Even though this Targaryen has dragons.
And now, with the episode, even though I was saying that the plot didn't develop that fast, and on the flip side, it did, because a lot of things were revealed quite early on that I didn't think would be revealed now. So when Bran mentions the other dragon that's joined their side, the Night King.
Yeah.
has joined, of course, the undead, basically. There is that, and also the fact that Sam reveals that Jon's identity is, of course, Aegon Targaryen.
Can we just talk about the Arya Jon reveal first? Because I know a lot of people were waiting for that. I was too, and I just felt really underwhelmed by that scene. I thought that the Sansa Jon reunion back in season 6 was a lot more emotional. Perhaps that was because that was the first Stark reunion that we had. But I just felt like, you know, they weren't really talking, they were just hugging, and you could just feel the emotion there. Whereas here, even though Arya and Jon were so close, I expected that from the Bran Jon scene, which is exactly what happened. Like, Bran didn't react at all. Jon was weirded out by. But again, in the Arya scene, it had its moments, but I just think it wasn't as good as I wanted.
And I think it's for that reason. So I guess the writers didn't want to go over the same ground that they did with earlier, so the reunion with Jon and Sansa from season 6, and there were actually quite a lot of reunions, characters that haven't seen each other for years happening tonight, so I guess they couldn't do the same for everyone, or they couldn't spend too much time on it, so that's why characters just appear in focus and then it's just a casual glance, and you know that they don't really spend as much time on that. So I know I've seen a lot of people mention that about they expected more when it came to Jon and Arya, because we know them to be so close within the book series and within the show. But there was also Arya and Gendry Arya and the Hound. Not that that was going to be like that emotional. And
but I actually thought that was I did enjoy that scene. Like
it's, me too.
And I actually really enjoyed the scene with Sam and Danny too. You know, when it starts out like a really positive, nice conversation, and then they realize, oh, Danny killed his father, whom he hated, so that's okay. But then Danny killed his brother too, and that's just Sam's reaction to that. Like, he loses it, but he doesn't get angry in front of Danny. He kind of holds it all in. But then it all comes out when he's talking to John. Like, he was like, I know you would not have done this. So Sam's already taken the side.
And I did think that, well, not that Sam would be happy about it, but, you know, he was really emotional about that, learning that his father and his brother perished. But then I was thinking there would be more of Sam's concern about his mother, his sisters, like trying to find out what happened to them, but that never really happened.
Well, Danny does make it clear that it happened on the battlefield, right? So his mother and sisters wouldn't have been there.
Oh, true. Just I was expecting maybe like a scene where he sends out a raven to find out, I don't know, what's happened to his family, his remaining family. But I did think that scene did start out a bit weird, because Danny approaches him with Jorah, mentions, you know, you've saved Jorah where no one else could. Then it was quite funny that he asks for a pardon for stealing some books. And then it goes on to, of course, about his father and sword. And then eventually, although it's good that Daenerys just, you know, tells him straight that this happened and this is why I did it.
Do you think it's going to go downhill for Dany? Like, is she going to start losing it? Like, she's very heavy-handed right now, isn't she? She's, even though she doesn't really react to what Sansa is saying, she kind of plays it cool. But Sansa does make a few good points, right? Like,
I love that point that she made about Jon, that he, you know, gave up his title, his glory, and that was to save the people. So he made that sacrifice, which, and then he turns it on Jon and says, "Would Daenerys do that?" And that's a really good question that really made me think.
Yeah, there's no, Dany has dragons. Like, there's no way she's gonna ever back down.
Yeah, Sansa does seem like the reasonable one this episode.
Yeah, and also when Sansa makes the point about, you know, what are we going to eat? Like, we don't have enough provisions for this huge army plus two dragons. Like, it's the north in the middle of winter. They don't have, like, there's no harvest coming in and whatnot. They're whatever food they have, they need it to survive winter.
Well, the two dragons, it only seems to be a problem.
Yeah, and Dany doesn't even, like, she doesn't even take it into consideration. Like, she's like, just, yeah, the dragons are going to eat what they want.
What's everyone's thoughts about the other two dragons? Will they survive, or will another one die, or will both of them die?
I think all the dragons will be dead by the time this is over.
I think I can agree with that. It's just how they go about it, the pacing of it, whether both will die in the final episode, or if perhaps maybe they'll space it out, like another one will die soon and then they'll save one for the final episodes. There is also the question of...
I think the final...
Oh, there is also the question of the characters, whether they will survive or not. So that's... a lot of people are focusing on that. Just, of course, characters who will survive to the end. There's a lot of question marks over a lot of the characters in my mind.
Oh, do you think Tyrion is being set up for a fall? Like when Sansa and Tyrion have the kind of they talk to each other. Sansa at the end of that conversation says, you know, I used to think you were the cleverest man in the world. When he's certain that Cersei understands the situation, and she's going to send the Lannister army. And he also defends Jon, saying the same thing, that, you know, the Lannister army is coming. But he has no idea, like, what Cersei is planning. He thinks that just because she's pregnant, she's going to you know, join their side. But do you think that will destroy Dany and Tyrion's relationship when Cersei doesn't send her army? And it's just Jaime that shows up?
There will be a lot of rifts throughout the series too, throughout the remaining episodes. So, yep, I can see some so broken down relationships between Daenerys and Tyrion, Daenerys and Jon soon. Quite a lot of characters that are close that will soon fall apart. So I can imagine further breakdowns of Sansa and Arya. With Tyrion, I'm also interested around the latest development with Bronn, and the fact that he's being paid to kill either Jaime or Tyrion, or both of them, in fact.
I think Book Bronn would do it in a heartbeat. Like, he'd do anything for money. But at this point, like, in the show, Bronn is kind of like, he has been kind of Jaime's sidekick for a while. Right? Do you think he would have it in him to kill Jaime or Tyrion?
I think he would. Yeah, I think he would. So, but then again, because Ron did save Jaime from the dragon in season 7, then maybe not.
Yeah.
Not sure. I think that's kind of supposed to be his character, to be willing to kill them. I guess it's dependent on who has the best offer.
Or whoever thinks is going to win at the end. Because he does want to come out on top, right?
So, thoughts on Cersei?
Yeah, do you think, everyone's wondering, do you think Cersei is still pregnant? Has she lost the baby?
Yep, she does look down at her stomach in that scene. And there's sort of a sad look, so I guess it's to be revealed.
Yeah, there's definitely some emotion at the end of that scene with Euron when he, you know, touches her belly and says, "I'm going to put a prince in there." But she has this weird reaction, like she's scared or she's sad. I'm not sure which. So it's, and if you're going by the prophecies, then she's not going to have to actually have the child. I'm not sure if she's already lost it. Also, Theon gets his act back together and he rescues Yara.
He does. And that was great that he wanted to fight for the Starks. I liked that moment. That was really a really great emotional moment. In fact, that was probably my favourite reunion of the episode, Asha, Yara, and Theon. Now that, I guess, Cersei has slept with Euron, do you think he will still try to fight for her and bring her this army?
Well, he already has brought the army, so I don't... Like, Cersei is paying it, right? Yeah, so they're already in King's Landing, so it's not like Euron can just take them away again.
Don't know. Like, he was the one getting them. He could have made sure the contract was out to him.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I think she has the Golden Company, like.
Yeah, but no elephants. Is it really worth it for the elephants?
I think the point was that they couldn't like afford the elephant.
Oh yeah.
So the writers just like put it in there multiple times as a joke. But we haven't seen the elephants in the books either, right? Like they get lost at sea or something. So that's
yeah, they get blown off course, the ship's holding them. So Aegon doesn't have any elephants either.
Yeah.
Do we know about? I know that this episode was 54 minutes, and the next one I think is 58 minutes. Do we know what the episode length will be for the final episode, if it has been announced?
I think it's close to an hour and a half.
Oh, right, good. That was the one thing that I was a bit let down about, because I know that they released information, the writers, the producers said that, oh, we've got less episodes this time around, but they will be longer. So, like, there was quotes about 2 hour, 1.5, 2 hour long episodes. And then, so far, that's not been the case. So, I'm looking forward to that. So, feature length episodes.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the runtimes are for the second last and the last episodes. Those are probably like going to be like the longest, right?
No doubt. Yep.
Or maybe the one the battle for Winterfell, the battle of Winterfell is going to be the longest. I don't know. But we also had the all of the stuff that goes down at the Last Hearth.
Yeah, I like the sort of horror elements to it, and I liked Ed and Torment.
Yeah, I love the scene with the blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. The actor does have very, very blue eyes.
And I like the Easter egg of the symbol from Martin's sci-fi books.
Another one that I never noticed at the time. I'm really horrible for spotting these clues and, you know, nods. But then I did see an article posted on Facebook that, you know, side-by-side images of, like, the spiral and what it looks like, I think it's, like, the dragon Targaryen symbol.
Oh, yeah. It kind of does, actually. Yeah, but just the end of that scene where, you know, they walk up to it and they're kind of looking at it and the boy just comes to life and it's just, it was, oh, that was really well done. Like, the horror element of that scene was really good. What do you think Dany's reaction is going to be when she finds out that Jon is the rightful heir to the Seven Kingdoms? How do you think she's going to react to that?
I wonder how it will be revealed and whether Bran will tell her or not, or if it will be John that tells her. But I'm sure she'll go ballistic about it. I fear for John's life too, because effectively he stands in her way for what she's been trying to achieve for the past 7, 8 years, all through the series.
Right. Yeah.
But then...
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's not going to go well for any of them.
I also wonder if...
But also, do you think...
Oh, I was...
Do you think that...
Sorry.
<Go ahead. laughs>
I also wonder if, because John was riding Rhaegal, one of the dragons, I wonder if there will be a connection made. So if Daenerys does get angry with John, orders Drogon to kill Jon if Rhaegal would defend him, and maybe.
Yeah, that was exactly what my question was going to be. Yeah, do we think that Jon and Rhaegal have bonded enough for him to take to for John to be able to control him, even when Danny doesn't, you know, even when Danny is trying to stop him from doing.
Maybe that's all it takes. If you can successfully raid the dragon, then you've made that connection. Probably not from.
Yeah. I think from what we've read in the books, in, you know, in the world of Fighting Fire and in Fire and Blood, that's basically what you need. Once you've ridden the dragon is basically yours. But, you know, these are Danny's babies at the same time. So I'm not sure how that's going to work. And plus, this is the show, so it's a completely different thing. So, you know, we don't know how dragons think in this.
And hasn't Tyrion ridden one of the dragons?
Has he?
I sort of had a memory of that. I know that there have been people that have tried, but then they were burned alive because they tried.
Hey, pals.
Hi, Hannah.
How are you?
Hi, Hannah.
Good. How are you?
Where are we?
Almost at the end. What do you think? Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question. Do you think that now that John has ridden a dragon, has ridden, you know, Rhaegal, if it comes down to it, if Danny doesn't react well to the news of John being the true heir, and they get into an argument, do you think that John would be able to control Rhaegal against Danny?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I was thinking, like, when that part came up, I said, oh, I wonder if he'll warg in it. But then I remembered on the show, like, he doesn't do that. So then I was kind of wondering, like, oh, I wonder if they'll have Bran try to warg one of them, especially now that it's bonded with Jon. So I think, if anything, I would kind of say maybe something like that.
Because, yeah, I don't think any of them warg, right? Not Jon or Arya. It's only Bran, right?
Yeah, they didn't do any of that in the show. Which is kind of stupid, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, in the books, John is a pretty powerful warg, right?
Yeah, I mean, arguably, Arya kind of is, like, super powerful because she's doing it from quite a distance a lot.
Yeah, but she can more do other animals.
Yeah, so that's what I was wondering, is if somebody would try to, like, warg them. I guess it's anything's possible on the show at this point. And then my other thing with it was, I wonder, okay, well, since they put Jon on it and Viserion's gone, I guess that means Tyrion won't get his wish.
Yeah. But did we ever really think that was going to happen? Like, a non-Targaryen being able to control it?
I mean, I certainly am hoping for that still in the books, but in the show, I kind of, because they had that whole speech, like, when he first met them and he was in Meereen, and it's this, you know, where he's like, it could be a little one. It didn't have to be a big one, you know, and then he kind of got to touch him. So I thought they were going to take it in that direction in the show, but maybe not so much.
They have mentioned it a few times. So, like, in the season one episode, they mention that they have done it throughout the show. Turns out I was wrong. So of course I did mention, Hannah, that I thought that Tyrion had ridden one of the dragons, but he's not. He hasn't. It's just Jon so far.
Yeah, he just got to, like, be up close and personal with them for a little bit. Yeah, and I don't know, like, I think that the showrunners intended for that to be some big moment. And I don't know, maybe because I'm a book reader, it just really fell flat for me. That whole sequence just felt really, whatever, you know? It felt phoned in, the whole thing.
Which one? The John riding Rhaegal?
Yeah, I just didn't, the power of it wasn't in it for me. I didn't feel it in my heart at all. Like, and I can't tell if I'm just jaded because of the books and it being so wildly different and such a far and away departure, or if because the show's just really not as good as it used to be. Like, it's a little paint by numbers at this point.
I mean, well, they're not working off the same source material, right? It was the first few seasons was basically George's, right? They were adapting George's writing. So they had some dialogue to go off of, whereas they don't. And I don't think that they're going, like, John writing Rhaegal is a huge, huge thing. And I don't think that in the show, Dany understands the meaning of it. Like, she doesn't understand that John can't not be a Targaryen, you know, if he's writing a dragon. So,
there wasn't any gravitas, but she's just like, oh, get on it, like, tra-la-la.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she expects anyone to be able to ride a dragon.
Yeah, and that's, it's so weird. And I think, like, even in the earlier seasons, the where they did go off book and on their own, even that felt better. Like, it felt more meaningful than it does now. Does that make sense? Like, the added scenes between Cersei and Robert in that first season were so good and dark and, you know, really creepy stuff and just captivating television. And now it's just, it doesn't have the same weight for me anymore. And I can't tell if that's just because it isn't as good, it's gotten a little silly, or it's because I'm a book reader and I know how much more it could be.
Probably all of those things.
Probably. I don't know. This whole time I've been waiting to, like, I just want Tyrion to ride the dragon. So then I was kind of like, it should have been Tyrion, not you. He deserves a win.
Do you think they're still building up to a Hound versus Mountain fight?
Oh, I think that's more the fandom than them, but who knows? It may be like an ace in the hole thing where, you know, they could do it, they could not do it, and either way, it'll be fine. I got a little disappointed. I felt like the meeting between Arya and the Hound was, like, really cold in a way that's out of character for them both, because I feel like they kind of would have, like, given everything that's happened and the situation they're currently in, for them to realize, oh, you're neither one of us is dead. I feel like they would have, like, half smiled and given each other, like, a kind of more than continuing that conflict feels forced to me. Like all the Sansa stuff feels forced. Although I did like the scene with her and Tyrion.
Yeah, that was a good scene. And I do think, like, I already asked them as Glenn and Doc this, but do you think Tyrion's also being set up for a fall? Like, you know, when Sansa says, I used to think you were the cleverest mom in the world. And he's constantly, you know, defending Cersei that, you know, she's sending the Lannister army. And we know that's not going to happen. You think Dany's going to lose it at that too?
Yeah, the way the camera kind of lingered on Tyrion there made me think, like, are they going to try to set some bullshit up where Tyrion actually has sided with Cersei? Especially looking back at, like, the reread episode that just covered that one chapter, they brought up a lot of stuff about the dynamic with Tyrion and Cersei that had always gone over my head. I think it was reread 83 or 84. It just kind of dawned on me, like, oh, I wonder if they're going to try to take it in some odd direction where Tyrion's actually going to switch sides, or they're just doing the same old stupid shit they did last year between Arya, Sansa, and Littlefinger. These longing looks that are only for the viewer's benefit and don't mean anything, you know? Because they linger on him and he has, like, kind of a sinister face. And I'm like, what the fuck? It that part bothered me a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Peter Dinklage is a better actor than for, I think, his facial expressions to be, like, mixed up between concern and, like, ulterior motives. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like if he wanted to show concern, he has a face for that that we know and love.
Yeah, I don't think Tyrion would have made a secret pact with Cersei or anything of the sort.
One would hope. It wouldn't make any sense. That's why I'm hoping that they're not going to try to say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do see him playing both sides, but like still always on the side of right.
I just want to say that I'm really excited for all the Jamie stuff in the next episode.
It looks like they're setting up a battle.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I guess, because they said, what is it, episode 2 or 3 is going to be all one huge battle, the entire thing, and it's really long.
Yeah, that's episode 3, Battle of Winterfell.
Yeah, we'll see. So when they were in the Great Hall, we saw Brienne. And then sitting next to Brienne is Lyanna Mormont. And then sitting next to her, that's a Royce, right? He's one of the Knights of the Vale. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's Bron Zion Royce.
Oh, is this a clip for the next episode?
No, in this episode, when they're talking about we elected you king in the north, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. How dare you?
Yeah.
I'm more just trying to keep in straight of who's dead and alive in the show versus dead and alive in the book. So, it's getting a little cats in the cradle there for me. And then I am wondering what will happen with them. I'm probably most, I think, for the entire season looking to see what role Melisandre is going to have.
Oh, that's a good point.
We don't know where Melisandre is at this point, right?
Right, I don't think so.
She was told to leave Westeros, and that's the last we saw of her, right?
I kind of imagined Volantis, because is it Volantis or Pentos that has that big temple?
No, I don't think she actually left, because I think she's mentioned that she's going to die in this strange land, and the war against the Night King is probably when she's going to die, so... You know, I think she's going to turn up.
I could see especially how they have their teleportation devices in the show and can just cross the narrow sea willy nilly.
Yeah.
It's apparently a very, very narrow sea. So I could see her going to one of those cities where the Lord of Light has a bigger following. Cause they kind of set it up in whatever season it was. They have that one priestess is talking about Daenerys Stormborn is a gift from the Red God, blah, blah, blah. Rhaelor's chosen person. We need to support her. So I could see Mel going there to get reinforcements, if anything, and coming back. But you're probably right. It might be that she's not left.
Yeah.
And then I think that Asha had a good foresight in saying, we should go home and make sure the Iron Islands are ready so that they have a place to and let them know we're here and you can flee here if you need to, and they shouldn't be able to cross the sea. So that part I thought was pretty good between her and Theon.
Yeah, unless they can just freeze the sea and walk over it,
Yeah,
obviously
that's a possibility. Well, and two, he does have the dragon now, so.
Yeah, they can just fly over.
Also, in the books, weren't there those sort of undertones at Hardhome, something beneath the waves sort of thing? It suggests that they could be there.
True. I don't know the validity and what will actually happen, but I just her character thinking about it and
oh, like, why should we go and join them, just this handful of us, when we might be able to have a rear position that would be more beneficial to everyone, like, regardless of how it looks, you know? I liked her thinking. It seemed smart to me. And it gave her character a little more depth.
Yeah, and also she just really wants to take the Iron Islands away from Euron. That's also that's such a powerful motivation.
That part with Cersei and Euron, it's like you almost feel bad for her, but then you don't.
Yeah, it'd be hard for me to feel bad for Cersei. Like, this is the woman who had babies killed in the first season. So, you know,
there's really no coming back from that, is there?
Yeah.
So, do we think that either of them are pregnant, her or Dany?
Oh, that's a good point.
Well, not Dany. I don't think we've seen any indication of that. But, yeah, I think Cersei might be pregnant, because she does seem generally scared when Euron, you know, touches her belly and says, I'm going to put a prince in.
There's also been rumors that it's because she's had a miscarriage, so she was pregnant, or either that she's had a miscarriage or she's just remembering her three children that are dead.
Maybe. And then my other question is, with the whole thing of like, oh, they're not hungry, they've only had so many sheep. And she's like, they don't like the North. It kind of made me think, what if one of them's like, because we have two gecko lizards, and they don't like the cold either. Like, they'll basically hibernate in winter and they can live like months without eating at all. Because in their tails, they store up fat reserves. But when they're about to have an egg, they also behave the same way. They won't eat as much. It takes them longer to shed. And they're both females, so the eggs they do lay are unfertilized. But they behave the same way, where they lose their appetite. They don't move around as much. So it kind of made me wonder if one of, like, maybe Rhaegal is perhaps gonna clutch it up.
You never know.
And it would be interesting to think what that means, you know, because arguably, I mean, Dany's dragons are way more hale and hearty than any of the ones that were born, like, of the last ones, you know.
Yeah.
So, you're my four cute dragon babies.
Yeah. I don't know if there would be time for any of that to pan out, but it would be interesting to see. Hope for the future. The long night is over. That's all that matters, I guess.
Okay, well, thanks for everyone joining today. So thanks, Hannah, Jock, and Nadia for joining. And thanks for everyone that listened to the episode. So looking forward to the next episode, and we can discuss that further.